Hello, I'm Norma Galumbus. Welcome to the Norma Galumbus Lifestyle Podcast, a part of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. Thank you for listening. Season 4, Episode 20, The Hotel Windsor, 1912 to 2011, Leask, Saskatchewan. Humble beginnings. Leask was a hamlet surrounded by bush that officially became a village in 1912. This was the era of tying your horse to a hitching post and gas lamps illuminating muddy streets in the evenings. It was the same year that the Titanic plunged to the bottom of the Atlantic. The railway line came through in 1911, and it was the daily whistle of the incoming train that brought the unhurried, sleepy hamlet to life. It became evident that there was a need for additional lodging for travelers and people who came to the village on business. If the next train wasn't scheduled to depart until the following day, passengers needed overnight accommodations. The only available lodging before the hotel was built were a handful of rooming houses. A regal structure. In 1912, Emil and Marie Culliner built the Hotel Windsor on the corner lot where Railway Avenue and Main Street meet. The building was considered regal at the time, with a balcony spanning the front. An upper corner boasted the crow's nest, originally used as a lookout point, with a fire escape ladder clinging to the wall next to it. I'm not certain what they looked out for from that vantage point, perhaps an inbound train, a storm, or a prairie fire. The Royal Canadian Legion emblem was proudly displayed. A wooden platform, what we would now call a deck, extended across the hotel's front, and wooden sidewalks lined the streets until the concrete ones were established in 1940. A fire escape snaked down the back of the structure to an enclosed yard. A staircase led to the 18 hotel rooms. Apparently, the honeymoon suite was at the back of the building. Coal oil lanterns and then mantel lanterns were used for lighting, as electricity wasn't installed in the village until 1931. Wood-burning furnaces were the source of heat. The original decor of the hotel was modest, consisting of curtains, metal-framed double beds, small dressers, wooden chairs, throw rugs, lanterns, small scenery pictures on the walls, and washstands with a pitcher and basin. Carpet, overhead lighting, and desk lamps were later added, as well as window air conditioners. Some rooms had washrooms, and there was also a communal washroom upstairs. Facilities for hotel guests included a dining room where home-cooked meals were enjoyed by weary travelers. The owner's living quarters shared the hotel kitchen but had a private dining and living area. Off the living room was a washroom and the master bedroom. To get to the second bedroom, you had to walk through the master bedroom. A wood stove was initially used in the kitchen, and then a gas stove and grill were installed after 1967. There was a big square island in the middle where all the food prep was done. The washing machine and dryer were installed, as well as an ice machine, all in that same room. Originally, a cistern in the basement was used to store wash water, with a hand pump in the kitchen that brought water up from the basement. Sinks for washing dishes were across from the grill. Sewer and running water came into the village in 1962. The interior walls were finished with white paint and floral wallpaper. The flooring consisted of hardwood and linoleum before carpet was installed. There was a basement that was used for storage, and soft drink tanks were located there with lines that ran up from the tanks to the dispensers in the bar. What's in a name? The original name on the building was the Hotel Windsor, as seen on the sign in the photo. I'm not sure why they chose the name Windsor, as the royal family was not known as the Windsors until 1917. Through the decades, it was referred to as the Windsor Hotel, the beer parlor, the bar, or by using the owner's name at the time, for example, Ed's. It was eventually renamed the Leask Hotel. The business of running a hotel. Business was better in the warmer months because in the winter, in the 1930s, for example, motor vehicles could not be used on the snow-clogged roads, so people had to use horses and wagons for travel. This greatly limited the amount of travel that they did. There was a lot of manual labor involved in running a hotel in the early 1900s. Wood was hauled and split for the furnaces and cook stove. Heavy blocks of ice were cut from a nearby lake, packed in sawdust, and used throughout the summer months for food preservation. Water was hauled in and wastes were taken away. Bedding, towels, tablecloths were laundered on site. Meals were made from scratch. Simple ledger books were used for accounting and managing room bookings. A wooden slotted shelf likely held the room keys, and a wooden filing cabinet kept papers organized. Emil, a meat cutter by trade, butchered meat and made sausage and blood pudding for the restaurant. The Windsor owners and staff. Staff were needed for food preparation, cooking, serving, washing dishes, cleaning rooms, and doing laundry. It was an exciting time when the hotel opened, as there weren't many available jobs for the young ladies of the area. Many local people worked in the hotel through the years. My grandma was in her late teens when she worked at the hotel doing food prep, such as peeling potatoes, and she also cooked. She and the girls she worked with, including her sister Lucy, loved to go on the balcony and wave at the gentlemen passing by on the street below. Emil and Marie operated the hotel until they retired to British Columbia in 1942. Their son George and his wife Mildred proceeded to manage the business until 1963. A lady wrote to me that her sister was born at the hotel. Her parents were on their way to the hotel, to the hospital, but the baby was coming too soon, so they stopped in Leask. Mrs. Culliner delivered the baby, and the baby was so tiny that Mrs. Culliner thought they should name her Penny. William and Joan, known as Bill and Bobby Pierce, operated and owned the business from 1963 to 1975. Their daughter, Joan Pierce Rogers, who spent her formative years growing up at the hotel, provided details for that time frame. She recalled walking through her parents' room as a kid to get to her bedroom. The kids were not allowed to run around in the hotel lobby area, so they stayed in their own living quarters. In her later teens, she joined her brothers, who already had bedrooms upstairs. They were all active in school sports, so they didn't have that much time to spend at the hotel. She and her brothers worked in the bar when they were old enough to do so. At the time, it closed over the supper hour, and they were responsible for sweeping the floors during that time. When her parents took vacations, they hired trusted friends and relatives, such as Reg and Gertie Duck, Ken and Kathy Dobson, Caroline and Otto Boschler, and Alice Duncan to run the kitchen, and Joan helped with the dishes. Other owners in subsequent years who operated the bar after hotel rooms were no longer rented out included Steve Hadada, Tony Hopaluk, Roly Anderson, Emil Chomowicz, and Ed Musage. Some had spouses or partners and children who also helped out. The Coffee Shop Cafe. George renovated the bar area in 1954 and built a pool room across the street. A coffee shop was opened in the hotel. George Culliner's and then Pierce's operated it. Bill Pierce made a request eventually to the Liquor Commission for approval to close the cafe, as the Paris Cafe served food down the street. His request was granted. Jim and Thelma Hart reopened the coffee shop and managed it as Hart's Cafe until 1988, when it closed for the last time. Thelma worked at the hotel for many years before they took over all management. The Beer Parlor. The business was granted a license to sell liquor in 1915. But when Prohibition came in 1918, the bar area was temporarily repurposed into an ice cream parlor. Slot machines in the facility go back to the 1930s. Initially, there was a pool hall attached to the west side of the building, and this was where the beer and wine outlet was located until 1932. Originally, the area where alcohol was served in a hotel was referred to as the beer parlor. Once ladies became part of the clientele, they were called beverage rooms, as the title was thought to have a less seedy connotation to it. If they wanted females to frequent their establishments, they had to up their game a bit from the dark, dingy, smoke-filled man havens they once were. It made good business sense to expand their customer base. I guess it was assumed that if the ladies were seated in near proximity to the men, that this would temper any raucous behavior. Even still, there was always someone barred out for bad behavior. My mom still refers to the hotel bar as the beer parlor. Women were allowed in after World War II, but were required to remain on one side and the men on the other side. It was not really a thing that a lot of men were thrilled about, having the women coming into their domain, but times were changing. According to Mum, the gender segregation arrangement didn't last, and over time, men and women were allowed to mingle and sit where they wished. In the 1950s, you could purchase a glass of draft beer for 20 cents. I asked Mom what beverages were served in the beer parlor, and she said beer, wine, and hard liquor. I inquired as to what was used for the mix, and she thought they drank it straight up, pure and tough. Performers were brought in, including local musicians like John and Jane. Pool tables, a jukebox, shuffleboard tables, a dance area, and upgraded slot machines were added throughout the years. At one point, you could bring your empty beer bottles in for recycling. I remember going into the bar when I was 19, as that was the legal age at the time. It was dark, smoky, and a bit intimidating, but it was a memorable rite of passage. I remember the tables with the brown laminate on top and the chairs with the thinly padded seats. Time waits for no one. Times changed, and as they always do, and to keep the doors open, operators had to get creative to find ways to attract customers. The culture shifted from people simply wanting to visit with friends and neighbors to the need to be constantly entertained. In the 70s and 80s, home entertainment options like movies and game rentals became widely available, so people stayed home more. Starting in 2005, smoking in beverage rooms was no longer allowed. These changes hurt many small business establishments. Ownership of the hotel changed over the years, and it was renovated several more times. The exterior paint color evolved from white to brownish to blue. The front office was removed, and the door to the bar was moved. The aging balcony was taken down. The crow's nest, though, desperately clung to the corner of the building for a few more years before it, too, had to be taken down. Inevitably, with the passage of time, the building lost its former splendor. The railway line no longer provided passenger service, the hotel rooms were no longer rented out, and the coffee shop was closed. The bar managed to limp along until the bitter end. Income that once came from room rentals and revenue from the cafe was no more. The funds generated weren't enough to offset the costs involved in operating and adequately maintaining the structure, let alone restore it. A fiery end. The risk of fire was the biggest threat to these rambling old hotels. Sadly, this stoic 99-year-old landmark burned to the ground in the early morning hours of February 9, 2011. The combination of old wood, paint, and varnish caused the building to be rapidly engulfed in flames. There was no saving it. All the fire crews could do was work to keep the rest of the nearby buildings from the same fate. The cause of the fire was deemed to be arson. Thankfully, the smoke alarm alerted the owner and who was the lone occupant of the building, and he was able to escape the blaze unharmed. Unfortunately, as far as I could determine, the historic documents for the hotel were lost in the blaze. The night of the fire, the Hubs and I were awakened at 3 o'clock by a phone call asking for help to fight the fire at the hotel. He went right away, and I went my own vehicle. It was freezing cold, but Main Street, usually deserted at that time on a Wednesday night, was bustling with emergency vehicles and onlookers. Fire departments from surrounding communities had come to assist. As ash rained down, the smell of smoke clogged the air. I took a few pictures. It is something that I don't think I'll ever forget. It was a sad day for our village. A decade later, the lot where the hotel stood remains vacant, but for a simple sign acknowledging that it once existed. In the early 1900s, similar hotels were built in small towns across Canada. Many still stand today. The Hotel Windsor stood in silent witness to a changing world for almost 100 years. Settlers arriving, pandemics, world wars, prohibition, the Great Depression, and gender segregation. Embedded in its walls were the stories of the owner's family, staff, and patrons. Many a tall tale was told between those parlor walls. Visit my lifestyle blog for episode pictures and links to my garden and published works pages, food blog, and gift shop. My website address is in the episode notes. The Saskatchewan Podcast Network is supported by Direct West. Is marketing getting in the way of running your business? Direct West has a local expert team right here in Saskatchewan that will work with you to build your website exactly how you imagine it. Let them help you improve your online presence and head to directwest.com to learn more.
The Saskatchewan Podcast Network is supported by Kinexus. Does money spark joy in your life or cause you stress? If you said stress, you're not alone. For 42% of Canadians, their biggest stressor comes from money. At Kinexus, they care about your financial well-being. Money doesn't have to be stressful, and Kinexus is here to help. The Kinexus hashtag MoneyTalk blog provides expert advice, tips, and solutions for all life stages and events. Getting married, buying a house, budgeting, saving, they cover it all and more. And did I mention it's free? Check it out today at kinexusmoneytalk.ca and start feeling confident and stress-free about your money.